Yo, I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sakes. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to Wild Talk. That's why they're trying to cage me.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
From the South, Jimmy Hart.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hey, you got Terry Funk here.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Let the main event begin!
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE.
This is Matt Hardy.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede TJ Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Chris Vianney, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Sound.
And NEC. It's still real to me, damn it! With your host.
Are there any assholes in the building?
Tim Stein.
The head asshole in charge.
Spud.
That boy is an asshole.
Mace.
Hold the raven. Eat my shorts.
Will.
Hey, yo.
And the Omega.
Of the whole fucking show.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby. And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is a TNA-free week, so we actually get to talk about stuff we like. And this is, of course, the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, leading the way once again, followed by my good friend Mace.
You know, that RVD theme was probably one of the better ones he's ever had. But then again, he's only had three, so... Yeah.
Not including the TNA one or the one that he never used.
Yeah, Pantera's Walk, one Pantera's of a kind, and the one he's using in TNA. It's three.
So we're not counting Fury of the Storm that he had just for one video game.
Pretty much.
All right. We also have my very good friend, Spug.
And the King of Kings goes back on his throne.
Come closer to the microphone.
I keep forgetting I put that thing way up on my head.
Yeah, that's helpful.
So his mic work is just as good as Triple H's. I'm going to hide now.
You go fuck yourself, sir.
And the man I love like a geriatric grandfather, Mr. Tim Stein.
Geriatric grandfather?
Well, what else would you be?
I'm not geriatric, you moron. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry, you're not the moron. I apologize for calling you moron, Omega. No, a moron would have to send audio to somebody else to have them stream it through Skype so they can hear what's on their own computer. That would be moronic. I'm just saying.
Oh, Tim. Oh. Tim. Tim, by the way.
What? Yes.
Happy Rosh Hashanah to you.
Okay, fuck you, okay? I'm not the Jewish one on the network. Rock is. Okay, he's half Jewish. So, half Hashanah to you, Rock. And good job as always. Oy vey, he says. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're going to try to present the show tonight to you with as little class as possible. It's going to be difficult, but we'll do what we can.
We're going half class, so in other words, we're actually upping the amount of class that we usually have on the show.
I think we should aim low. I think you should go quarter class.
Yeah. Never aim higher than you're going to reach. Anyway, yeah, so... There you go. Yeah. On a serious note, starting off the program, I want to get this out of the way. It's a sad story breaking this morning. A professional wrestler has passed away. It's not something that we like to talk about. This one, well, you know, I know who the guy was. You probably, you know of him and have seen him working in the ring. We're talking about Mike Shaw, also known as Bastion Booger, Muck and Singh. Unfortunately, passing away of a heart attack. Of course, Muck and Singh here in Stampede Wrestling, and he was one of the top three most hated wrestlers in the territory back in the day, and he was really good at garnering heat, as it was. It was the proper kind of heat you want as a heel. It was proper heat.
It was not Sean Waltman heat.
It wasn't Vicky Guerrero heat.
Okay. Can now, we change that, by the way?
There's a toss-up. There's a toss-up now. It's a bit of a toss-up. You know, like, until Indiana Jones number 4, the catchphrase was jumping the shark, now it's nuking the fridge, but they're both still on play. You understand what I mean, Spug?
Sure.
Okay, as long as you understand. So, yeah, unfortunately, Bastion Booger, passes away. He was 53 years of age, and it was a reported heart attack. Omega, do you have any memories of this big guy?
Unfortunately, I do not. I mean, of course, you remember a character as, you know, noticeable as Bastion Booger. But honestly, just memory-wise, he's not... I hate to say it, considering the guy died, but I honestly don't have very many memories of him because he was one of those, you know, one-trick gimmicks that was there to do his thing and leave and didn't really get much accomplishment out of it.
Yeah, what about you, Spug?
Wasn't he, like, in the top five of most notable... jobbers, WWE came out with that list a few years ago.
I do believe so.
He was also like the top three of worst gimmicks ever, too, for the Bastion Booger gimmick, so I really don't know all of his work. I'm just glad that it wasn't via OD, substance abuse, suicide, or some other horrible method that, you know, as bad as a heart attack sounds, it's actually a fairly natural method, so.
Yeah,
thank God for small miracles.
Well, yeah, I guess you could say that. It's a sad thing. I hate to say that it's a rarity in wrestling deaths, but Bastion Booger, Mike Shaw, was not really known as one who would, partake in the muscle enhancements medications. He was not heavily into the steroids or the painkillers or anything like that. It kind of sort of reminds me a little bit of the late, great Bad News Allen. I think that when the final autopsy results come in, it'll just show congestive heart failure. I mean, the guy did weigh, basically
he
a
wasn't
bucket.
He wasn't in shape, let's just put it that way.
He wasn't a small dude, no. And unfortunately, yeah, it sucks for his family and those he leaves behind. But in the common occurrence of wrestling deaths nowadays, where it's overdose, suicide, drugs, you know, whatever. A heart attack, you're like, oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah, how sad and tragic is it, really, when you have to say something like that, though, Mace?
Yeah, it's pretty tragic, but I'm pretty much sitting the same level of Spug on this one, you know, where everything's considered, you know, drug-related or suicide-based or something like that. A heart attack just seems like a sigh of relief to the wrestling community going, okay, for once we don't have to deal with, oh my God, big controversy bullshit. Yeah, you know, it's sad that the guy's gone. I'm probably one of the few people here who can actually recall some of his matches and how scary he looked in that bloody silver outfit. And yeah, even if the guy was just a jobber, it's sad to see another one biting the dust, so to speak.
Yeah, the thing that I absolutely could not stand about seeing him in WWF back at the time was they used him as a rather big jobber. Pardon the play on words, but he was really big fish. Another pardon the pun moment, but he was a big fish in the old Stampede Wrestling here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, Stu Hart's promotion. At one point in time, he and Owen Hart ran one hell of a program with each other at the time when he and Owen were battling back and forth for the World Heavyweight title. And you say you can remember a few matches of him, Ace. Well, geez, you know, there was one guy I loved to absolutely despise and hate and say nasty things about when I turned on my TV on Saturday mornings, and that was Mutkin Singh, Mike Shaw. You know, it was a case of, you know, we had Bad News Allen in the territory here, and he was one of my favorites, even though he was a bad guy. The guy, he scared the living shit out of me so much when I was a younger guy. He's like, you know, like getting into the show and into the character and everything. It's just, he was so frightening you had to respect him. But with Mutkin Singh, I tell you, he was so good at getting the right kind of heat on him. He made it look effortless, absolutely effortless.
Yeah, well, there was things going around as this news broke of his death that the last time he did like a shoot interview or an interview or something, he was very disappointed in the Bastion Booker gimmick, and he wanted to do what he did in Stampede on a national level to show people what he could do. And pretty much the only way any of us are going to see it is if Tim has archives of it, which he probably does, since it's all Stampede stuff, and we know how Tim loves his Stampede wrestling.
Well,
or we find it on YouTube.
Yeah, I can't officially show any of the stuff that I do have because it's currently owned owned by the WWE when Ross Hart sold the Stampede Wrestling Library to Vince McMahon. But there are a few tapes that I have put out by Hart Brothers Wrestling before it was at all sold that have Mike Shaw as Mutkin Singh. And there are some really interesting matches. And I'll tell you, you know, you put a microphone in front of his face, this is something that was completely underrated. He was incredible at cutting a heel promo. He really was. And his nickname, the nickname given to Mutkin Singh, the character, by Ed Whalen. You guys all have heard about Ed Whalen. You know Ed Whalen ad infinitum. Ed would get on the microphone and say, "Ah, man, he's a toilet bowl." And it stuck. So he would always call him Toilet Bowl, which was, you know, it was kind of humorous. So, unfortunately, yeah, Mike Shaw passing away at the age of 53. Our hearts naturally goes out to friends and family of Mike Shaw at this tragic time. And just in case anybody's thinking we're making fun of him, no. No, we are, you know, I'm celebrating memories of him that I have. And that's the best way to remember a guy like Mike Shaw.
Yeah. Just in a slight sort of offside there, I've just noticed something in the chat room, Tony O saying about WWE not posting anything about Shaw on their website yet. More than likely, they'll wait till Monday when things usually kick back in. However, what Tony mentions about Luna's death, the second she passed away from snorting cocaine and everything else. Yeah, go back to the website, Tony. They've removed the death mention as well as any mention of her from, was it their Legends or their Veterans or whatever it is page. The second they found out it was due to drugs, they removed every single mention of Luna Vachon they could off that site.
That's one thing I'll give WWE credit for, is that they will honor a wrestler who passes most times when it's a completely benign passing, to be quite honest, like heart attack, you know, whatever. But if it comes down to drug overdose, murder, anything of that nature, they are all over it. Like that, they will get rid of that shit quick.
Yeah, they sort of jump on that type of stuff pretty quickly because they don't want the bad image again.
Well, yeah, you know.
I'm hoping that they at least give like the old graphic on, at the start of Raw or something. Because, you know, Mike Shaw did actually contribute to the WWE, even if it was just being a jobber to the stars.
Yeah, this is truth. You brought something up that maybe we could touch on, use this as an opportunity to talk about a little bit. Does the WWE scramble to get rid of memorials and tributes and pictures of passed on wrestlers once the autopsy results are back and it's like, yada, 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 died of an overdose? Because they're afraid of the image that will be projected back at them, specifically and indirectly to Linda McMahon and stuff like that.
Pretty much. You take a look at the amount of crap they copped during the whole Chris Benoit saga and how much that affected the company, like on their stock market, in other words, in their wallets, where they, you know, give the most crap about. But in these type of situations, especially with Linda McMahon currently going for the Senate role or in her Senate role, whatever the hell, I don't keep up with American politics as much as I have Australian politics.
The voting's not for another couple of months.
Okay. But yeah, to distance themselves from any negativity, even the smallest bit, is going to help her in the overall scheme of things. It's just unfortunate that these great performers, even if they do go out in such a manner, don't end up having the full tribute that they should have for the contributions that they've done for the wrestling business.
Yeah, so I can understand the WWE wanting to distance themselves, but you know, the Chris Benoit situation you brought up is a perfect example of giving the for lack of a better term, the quote unquote smart fan reasons to think that it's more self preservation than not honoring somebody who probably doesn't deserve it. Just my thoughts and my 2 cents worth. I don't know. What do you think, Omega?
I think everybody's done kind of talking about this.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
So, yeah, let's get on to, like, happy fun things. God damn it.
Oh, here's a happy fun thing. The second thing we want to talk about. Did you guys hear about Kevin Nash's going absolutely ballistic on Twitter last week?
No.
Cry baby.
What were you going to say, Spud?
Was it worth it? What did he say? Did he bash on Bischoff and Hogan?
Well, I think Bischoff and Hogan were not mentioned, believe it or not. He pretty much bashed on something RVD said. Right now, RVD taking some time off to spend with his wife and generally heal up and stuff like that. But RVD on his, I guess it was on his website, blogged about how he and Jeff Hardy are rock stars, and there a few other things were said. Kevin Nash goes a little bit ballistic and says, "Oh, you're rock stars, are you? Huh, interesting. You know, in my heyday, in my prime, I was drawing 30,000 people to arenas, and you can't even sell out 1,000 seats." That was just one tweet.
Last I checked, Kevin Nash never sold out a 30,000 seat arena.
Well, it's been my experience. Kevin Nash was not a draw in either WWF or WCW. He was with the company that put 30,000 butts in seats. It wasn't him who did it.
Also, last I checked, when people were showing up 30,000 strong, some of the names across the ring from him were like Undertaker, Shawn Michaels. You know, just those guys. You never really drew a name or anything like that.
Hulk Hogan and stuff like that.
Jobbers.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much. But here, just a list of some of the tweets that Kevin Nash posted apparently Friday night, and you can find his Twitter page at twitter.com/realkevinnash, going back and forth with fans about TNA, and these are all quotes. "You can say what you want about me, I don't give a fuck, but to ever question my integrity, we no longer have a business relationship." That's one tweet. The next tweet: "And to the person that said, every September I go to work for myself, fuck you, you didn't even see it. Mid-card bullshit, never beans, fuck you."
Wait, read that one again.
"To the person that said, every September I go to work for myself, fuck you, you didn't even see it. Mid-card bullshit, never been, fuck you."
He's talking to somebody in the back.
Oh, you goddamn straight. Yeah, one of them being, not Eric Bischoff, but Eric Bischoff's business partner, Jason Hervey. There's a tweet about Jason Hervey there, too. I'm going to get to that just after this one. The next tweet: "You want to go to war with the best? Hope you fuckers don't live in glass houses. Sorry to the 33,276 that have no idea what I'm ranting for. 10-10-10, ST-1099. And then the next tweet right after that: "Jason Hervey made me tweet that, guess you have to stay tuned after Impact for the answers. I'm a fucking man, not some greenhorn boy. You don't like what I do? Fine. Pay me the dates you owe me. Let my accountants look at the books."
Sounds like somebody's bitter over money he's owed.
Yeah. Now, here's the next tweet. RVD said Jeff Hardy and him are rock stars. "In my prime, I was selling out 30,000-plus seat domes. They can't draw 1,000 on the road. What the fuck?"
Okay.
And now, here's something that you can pick up as news, and you're going to see it on all of the dirt sheets and the gossip columns and the pro wrestling websites in the coming weeks. But this next tweet: "I will work out my TNA contract and see what life brings me. To my fans, I love you, and words can never explain what you mean to me. To the haters, glad I was able to be there to dump on me to make you feel better about your fucked up lives."
All right. First of all, first of all, Kevy Kev, when you go out into public in most cities, 90% of today's wrestling fans aren't going to give a fuck who the hell you are or know who the fuck you are for the simple fact that you wrestled when they were still in diapers. So yeah, Jeff Hardy and RVD kind of are like rock stars.
Yeah.
Fucking retard.
It's just Kev being Kev. Pay me money, give me spotlight, or else I go wah, 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 and run away. What's he going to do? Go to the WWE? Ha! They'd never take him. Only if... Go, Omega.
Doesn't seem like much of a threat, considering it comprises, 2 minutes of TNA programming?
Well, you got to think, what was one of his biggest things in WWE in recent memory? He went to tag somebody into a tag match and blew a quad.
There you go. I remember that. Who wouldn't remember that? Okay, guys.
Mark stepping into Booker T, I think.
What was that, Omega? I missed part of that.
I'm pretty sure he blew a quad stepping over Booker T.
There's a racist joke in there somewhere, but I just can't think of it.
Yeah, there's been enough problems with Booker T on Russell Talk Radio. Let's not think anything racist.
Always trying to keep a nigga down, Kevin Nash is.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No, if you heard the interview that Booker T did back in 2005, you'll understand where that came from. His final tweet, guys, going to take some time off Twitter. Will still read tweets, just need to decompress away from the wrestling world. Much love, Kev.
So that would have been either Hogan, Bischoff, or Dixie turning around going, "You post anything else, we're going to fire you on the fucking spot."
Yeah. No, quite possibly.
You know what that was? I've opened my mouth a little bit too fucking wide. Excuse me while I go insert my foot in it yet again.
There you go. Now, here's the inside dope. It says he even tweeted that he was going to work out his contract. He's not going to re-sign with TNA. Don't be surprised if he leaves TNA before the contract is up now, especially after these tweets. But there is a new promotion opening up in Florida that Kevin Nash has wound up becoming attached to. It's called WWP. Now, there's a delay with the project, and whether or not that has any impact on Nash's involvement, we'll have to wait to see. But you can...
WWP, isn't that... Spug, didn't you and...
Sean Davis,
Alan,
yeah, that's him.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, I figured that sounded familiar.
So there, yeah. So yeah, Rocket in the production chat has a very good point. You saw all Hogan's video tweets and messages from the hospital, I do believe, this past week. Did you not?
It's the one with him on the shitter, right?
There's that's one of them. He's sitting on the can. Another one, he's lying on the bed, and he's just like totally doped right up when he's recording the video. But hey, you know, maybe Hulk Hogan saw the tweets while he was tweeting from the hospital toilet.
I think Spug's the only one out of us who watched that. I know Omega and I avoided that one like the plague.
Yeah, I never wanted to have that image in my head.
Here's the thing. This is what I'm thankful for about this, is that maybe, just maybe, if Nash leaves, soon enough Dixie Carter will get the fucking clue, and Bischoff and Hogan and Russo will be gone. And we can start to clear out a good chunk of that dead weight that's in TNA that's keeping that product down.
Well, according to everybody and their dog, the number one problem is Vince Russo and the fact that Dixie Carter thinks that if the guy's getting that kind of heat, he must know his job. And it just comes across, no, he's not an on-air talent. He shouldn't be drawing heat. His name should never be brought up, for fuck's sakes.
You know what? To bring American football into this real quick, it's like an offensive lineman. The only time you know that an offensive lineman is doing something wrong is when you hear their name. And that's usually from a holding penalty, or an offsides, or a false start, or something like that. You should never hear an offensive lineman's name called, just like you should never hear Vince Russo's name. Ever.
Well, yeah, exactly. He's a backstage person. The biggest mistake WCW did was to put him on TV. And, you know, he said that that was something he didn't want to do to begin with. But, you know, what are you going to do, right? We all know what happened with WCW.
It's like Macho Man says, be a man!
Be a man, Hogan! Oh, yeah, me Russo! Yeah, so, well, it's, you know, TNA is, I don't know, it just feels to me like it's going through growing pains.
Well, they need to get rid of Nash and Russo and Bischoff and Hogan and allow people who know the wrestling industry and know the business and know what the fuck to do with it to come in there. And Jeff Jarrett just needs to go the fuck away, too.
What's wrong with Jeff Jarrett?
Okay, Spug, who would you hand the book to?
The one person who doesn't want it.
And who would that be?
Heyman.
Nah.
You can hand it to Dreamer. He did a pretty damn good job.
Or hand it to Dreamer. Exactly.
Yep. Yeah, give Dreamer the book and say, hey, it's yours. Do what you can. You book TNA Hardcore Justice. And guys, that ranks up top three best pay-per-views this year, in my opinion. I don't know if you agree with me or not. It's your purview to or not to.
I would not say it's top three, but I had an epiphany about TNA this weekend.
Oh?
Mm-hmm.
Were you in hospital on the toilet when you had it?
No. I had an epiphany about TNA this weekend and my views on it. But I'll tell you those. right after this short commercial timeout right here on Wrestle Talk Radio. You're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Carino is on All My World of Wrestling Radio?
She sure is.
Oh my God, this is awesome! So, Mom, you got any questions for your son that you want to air some funny stories about him?
Oh, there's so many stories I could tell you that would just... It would take hours.
Are they going to make Steve turn blue? I don't want Steve turn blue.
I have a question for Mrs. Carino.
Okay.
I have a picture of me when I was about 4 years old in a pair of yellow rain boots, yellow underwear, and a bandana doing the Hulk pose. It's in a photo album somewhere. Do you have any embarrassing photos of Steve that you could tell us about?
No. Well, it's not so much embarrassing, but there was a contest one time.
Liar.
And him and his buddy dressed up like the Rock and Roll Express. Well, they didn't win the contest, but years later, I ran into Ricky Morton. I thought he was going to be at this show, so I took the picture with me. He just about died. Sorry.
By the way. Remember to tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesdays, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer. I am the host of this
show. Oh my God, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. For as long as the internet wrestling community has been around, there have been people and internet radio shows that will bitch and complain about every little thing they see. Well, the crew over at WrestleTalk Radio are trying to change that by highlighting the positives of each and every WWE and TNA event. These wrestlers put their body on the line to entertain us each and every week. So how about we praise them instead of bitching about the little things that get to us? So with that in mind, you should come listen to WrestleTalk Radio Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, or right after any WWE or TNA pay-per-view right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Because this is how we say thank you to those that entertain us.
This is Raven, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion, and you're listening to WTR, and I've got a tip for you. Don't pet burning dogs.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night. There's a reason why we had a little bit of the Beatles playing. And that's because they sound better singing Happy Birthday to You than I do. I want to say happy birthday to our very own Thunder from Down Under. He's known as the Mace Guy. Happy birthday, Mace.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Yes, I turned the grand old age of 27, which means I'm still like a quarter of Tim's age.
You're not even a quarter, dude. According to Tim, you're still in diapers, man. Tim,
okay. When did Happy Birthday Mace turn into pick on Tim again? Fuck off and wish Mace a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mace and Tim. You just reached the status of Methuselah.
Fuck you, Tim. All right, everybody, we want you to have the opportunity to say happy birthday to Mace. And here it is. If you want to pick up the telephone, hit the digits, 877-588-9877, option number 3. Call in and wish Mace a happy birthday. You don't want to use the phone. You got Skype on your computer. That's even better. All you got to do is add Sir Rockin' and call the show to wish happy birthday to Mace.
Yes, I get to spend my birthday with you guys.
Yay! Oh. I mean,
by the way, had the Mace celebration went and played laser tag last Saturday, and had lots of fun running around. And I even found money on the floor and score extra $40.
Mace, I sent you a cake with a stripper in it. If it smells funny when it gets there, just throw it out.
Did you remember to put the air holes in it this time?
No.
So you keep doing it wrong, Spug. You gotta make sure she can breathe. And the time before that, you gotta remember, put the stripper in after you bake the cake.
See, I did that again. I forgot.
Oh, jeez.
Somebody needs to give Spug some cooking lessons.
At this point, I'm willing to bet you didn't even take her out of her clothes first.
Nylon Oy. Smells funny when it burns.
Hey. So, anyway, yes, it's my birthday. Yay me. Let's get back into the wrestling and do the show.
Jersey Girl just sent me a message on Skype. She goes, "You baked a stripper and a cake, so that's how Mae Young died."
Oh! Oh! Damn!
Not right!
Yeah, we got Heartbreak Mike finally showing up for a show in the chat. And there's his happy birthday, Mace, from Heartbreak Mike. He goes, "Oh, Lord, baby Jesus." You know, Mike, I'm going to tell you what they told Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights. You know, Jesus did grow up. He didn't stay a baby all his life.
Oh, my goodness. That warmed the cockles of my heart.
Oh, fuck. No, that was funny. It's funny. Oh, so.
Oh, well. Speaking of wrestling, I can't wait for later, because we have the next round of the Great Debate tonight. I'm all excited.
The Great Debate? Are we doing that tonight?
Yes! I'm all excited.
Oh, no!
Because it was the fruit of my labor of recovering from surgery. One of them, anyway.
What's tonight's Great Debate?
I can't tell you that.
Because what, you don't know?
No, I do know. I do know what it is.
Well, you know, we all know what it is, I think. But
are you sure?
We're gonna get that. Well, at least I know what it is. We're gonna get to it a little bit later on.
I have an epiphany to tell you about, though.
Oh yes, yes. Before we start talking about the Night of Champions, which is on next week, we're gonna preview and predict Night of Champions. Why don't you give us your epiphany?
So I was watching some old clips of TNA on my iPhone yesterday. at work, and watching the old Samoa Joe versus Christopher Daniels versus AJ Styles match, the original one from Bound for Glory, and I would watch Petey Williams, and I remembered how great the wrestling used to be in TNA, and how many actual wrestlers they had, and thought, you know, maybe the product isn't as bad as I thought it was. Maybe TNA isn't as shitty as I made it out to be. Maybe there's hope for this yet, and I might actually like it. And then I thought, they still have Vince Russo, they still have Jeff Jarrett, they still have Eric Bischoff, they still have Hulk Hogan. So until TNA can get rid of the hangers-ons, the has-beens, the never-was, Jeff Jarrett, TNA will continue to be a shit second-rate product.
My goodness, did you actually say that?
I did.
Wow. Freaky.
I did.
Okay. So, that's your epiphany, is it?
It's not. TNA's not that horrible. It's just they really need some work. It's like a diamond in the rough.
Ah. Okay.
I mean, there are things to like about the product. There really are.
Uh-huh.
It's just the negatives outweigh the positives, which is sad.
Okay. Well, why don't you break it down and tell us exactly what TNA needs to do, aside from getting rid of the guys you named?
Continually doing their show from Orlando is hurting them. And I've said it many times, and I'll continue to say it. Put together a small tour, you know? Go to the Agora Ballroom in Cleveland. Go to the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York. Go across the country hitting small places and build up your following. Make people want to see you. Give us storylines that are compelling and storylines that people want to follow. Give us wrestling that we want to watch. You know? Don't give us Abyss with a board with a nail through it in the ring screaming about them. Don't give us Jeff Jarrett versus Sting versus Hulk Hogan versus Kevin Nash in the battle of the blown out ACLs for the ninth time. You know, give us something compelling and, dare I say, just a little bit modern.
You had
something great with Petey Williams and Christopher Daniels and Samoa Joe and the Motor City Machine Guns. You had something great with the X Division. You had the thing that set you apart from everybody else. And all of a sudden, you got rid of it because you didn't think it was going to work. And it did, and now you have to deal with the consequences of having way too many heavyweights who can't do that. You don't have that niche that you should have. You have an overbooked heavyweight division with not too many good heavyweight talents in it. You know, you might as well put Kennedy, Angle, and RVD and so forth on a card every month, every pay-per-view, and just have them wrestle each other. Because that's pretty much all you're booking. You've got this stupid tournament, your business model is absolutely abysmal. How do you book guys for dates and then, you know, put the belt on them and, oh, we're running out of dates, we have to take our belt off of you? You know, I don't understand it, because Vince would never run a business that way. Could you see Vince back in the 80s booking Hogan to a per day, per date contract or per diem contract? And the next thing you know, puts the strap on him at WrestleMania 3 again and then takes it off of him a week later. Oh, sorry, we got to hold a tournament all over again. We know you just had one of the biggest moments in wrestling history, but we kind of have to take the heavyweight title off of you. Vince would never do that.
Interesting. Omega, what do you think?
Well, I'm not sure what you'd categorize as a modern spin on things. Like, it's kind of hard for me to think about that, because I see, like, wrestling today, like, with, you know, between WWE trying and failing to recapture the Attitude Era, now going back to PG rated material, I think the industry itself is trying to find its identity. I think it's more or less the fact that WWE and TNA are on TV that's where we notice the struggle happening.
Uh-huh.
Where we see, like, even ROH, which, you know, that used to be where modern wrestling was, and now they're struggling too. You know, of course, it sucks when half of your roster is going to one of the big time corporations. But in general, I think it's hard to figure out just what's going to capture fans' attention these days. Just because you've got young talent on TNA, and they put on amazing wrestling matches when you turn them loose, but just for one reason or another, they don't attract the crowds like they need to, and they don't build up any star power that would keep people coming back to them.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, I think it's an industry-wide problem right now. I mean, TNA's even lower on the flagpole right now, but yeah, for the most part, I'm sitting where Spug is right now.
Well, like, the one thing that never changes, the one thing that always stays the same within the business is the wrestling. You know, if promoters, and I know we're talking about TNA here, if promoters would just allow the wrestlers to go and turn them loose, if Dixie Carter could see what talent she actually has. I mean, some of those guys, Homicide, who was with the company, the Motor City Machine Guns, Kennedy, they're amazing talents. They know how to wrestle, know how to work a mic. They can bring you droves of fans if you will allow them to just be turned loose. Don't listen to what Russo says, or what Bischoff says, or what half of these idiot writers think. I mean, because let's face it, at the end of the day, it's the wrestlers who are going to put your product over, not any fucking retard writer who thinks that Katie Vick was a good idea.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Spug, you and I know this the most, you know, being through the independents. We're given a lot more freedom in what we can do. And I believe it was either The Rock or Austin who said, the best gimmicks out there are the guys who go out there as themselves with the volume turned up. And that's what they need to do with a lot of these guys in TNA, is turn around and go, okay, you now have control over your character. Give me ideas. Give me storyline ideas. Who do you want to feud with? Let's build something. Do you want something? Do something with your backstory. Let's build your character up, but instead you've got writers going, okay, we're going to put this here, that there, do this, do that, without any input from the actual characters, the guys that are the characters.
Well, let me ask you this.
That's why this shit doesn't make sense.
Let me ask you this. Off the top of your head, who were some of the three best promo cutters, three best talkers in all of wrestling today? Or in today.
Today?
Mm-hmm.
Best promo gods. As much as I hate to admit it, Anderson and Cena, and basically because I can get away with this because he's actually still wrestling, Raven.
Fair enough. You look at WWF / WWE and TNA, what's the one thing? I mean, the one thing that sucks the most is their ability to work on a mic. And Austin's never given enough credit for his ability to talk, ever.
If I was allowed to include guys that, like, from the past in that list, it would have gone, again, Austin, Rock, and Raven. Let's face it, I'm always going to put Raven in there, personal biased, but anybody that has gone through his history as the Raven character understands what I'm talking about.
See, I'd have said Flair, Austin Rock, and then Raven at number four. Because you look at it, today's wrestlers lack so much in the ability to talk on a mic, because most of them have been in wrestling in the area when, in the time period that all of your promos are scripted, 100%. You do not, you go line for line. You do not hit a bullet point list. You do not go off the top of your head. It is 100% line for line. And that's taking away from the product too, and you can see it in TNA. I mean, you got Mick Foley, you've got Anderson, and Hogan, for the most part. Hogan can still cut a promo when he wants to. You know, you have these guys that can talk. You have the ability to get your product over in a way that it's never been over before, and you refuse to do it, and I just don't understand.
And that goes back to my point. Like you said, you know, today it's all about the scripted promo. No more bullet points. And again, it comes back to creative freedom that these guys had. The guys that you talk about, Rock, Austin, Flair, they were guys that would turn around and be given, you know, half a dozen bullet points and said, go. And they would, because they were allowed to do it. Because today, let's face it, wrestlers are handcuffed.
Whereas, it's unfortunate.
You know, not even 10 years ago, quite a few of them, once they proved they had that ability, the writers took the handcuffs off and said, here's bullet points, go for it, entertain us. And, yeah, it is definitely unfortunate the business has gone this way. Because it's a part of the business we're never going to get back. Anyway, I believe we do have a caller. Caller, welcome to WTR. Where are you from? What's your name?
Well, I'm some jackass from Evansville.
Wait,
you are
a
jackass
voice.
From Evansville.
Didn't this guy used to be on the show at one point?
We have to take him out of the intro.
Okay, so 2 months from now.
No, that's putting people into the intro, Omega.
Ah.
No, hi, no, how you doing, Will?
No. It's pretty much fuck you, what the hell do you want? Just, yeah, fuck you, what the hell do you want? Hey, look, it's a redneck!
Getting that Scott Hall reception. Oh, he's late.
What's
you're
up,
late,
buddy boy?
Late's being 5-10 minutes late. Dude, you are like pushing 3 months at this stage.
I'm sorry. I had a job.
Ah,
how dare you get a light?
I know. Working third shifts. What was I thinking?
God damn.
Actually, no, really. What the fuck was I thinking?
We were.
I believe you were trying to get money. But that's a discussion. For
money isn't worth waking up every day and thinking, "Dear God, I want to quit."
Yeah, true. So besides work, what's been going on, Will? Catch us up on the last 3 months of Will's life.
That's really it. Work.
That's exciting!
Yeah, isn't it? It's really just been work. Work, come home, sit around, go back to bed, go back to work.
Awesome. Have you at least been able to keep up with wrestling in the meantime?
Yes. Make sure to get myself a DVR.
Awesome.
So aside from pay-per-views...
So Tim, leave the show,
motherfucker. What was that?
Oh.
Now, what did you say, Mace? I missed what you said, dude.
I told you to lead the show again, dude. You know,
it's about time
I took... fuck up so you can do stuff, and... We tell you all right,
shut
stuff.
The fuck up about the new stuff. Here, and this is the stuff we're going to do. Everybody listen to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere, right on the other side of our second timeout. Night of Champions, preview and predictions. We're going to get through it if it kills us, right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the producer of Anything Goes, which you can hear every Thursday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, like most guys, and quite frankly girls out there, probably want to know what's going on through the mind of Cindy Sin. Well, here's a little secret. I have the inside scoop with that connected. And well, I've been secretly taping her dreams for a while now. So, let's hear what goes on.
Eat my pussy. I like big cocks. Fuck me harder. Fuck, I'm vibrating here. Sir Rockin is the greatest producer on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Rock is number one.
Really, Cindy? You really think of me like that? Oh, that's so sweet.
Eat my pussy.
Do you want to know more about her dreams and fantasies and all of her, well, sexual desires? Tune in Thursday nights for Anything Goes right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'll even be there. Unless she kills me for taping this.
Rock!
Oh crap, she found out. I'm a dead man.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
And now, a message to our competitors.
Thanks
for tuning us in.
This is Mace with an announcement from the head of the Wild Talk Radio Network. With the goal in mind to keep ratings as high as they are with DJ Tim Stein and DJ Sir Rockin, the Wild Talk Radio Network hereby releases Maverick and Nick from the network. Just kidding, guys. This is the Wild Talk Radio Network, where friends get together to have fun and make fun of Mav.
run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro, check out VeoLiners.com.
VeoLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free, and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their request.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VeoLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcasts. Join today.
This is Matt Hardy, version one, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night, along with the biggest MFers on the planet. And they're studying up and learning from the Sensei of Madison. So make sure to tune in each and every week and catch Russell Talk Radio. And in closing, I am
the one! Oh.
Welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Rust Talk, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Oh, my God, this is really, really weird for the first time. All summer, fella, we've got Spud, Mace, Omega, and Will on the line at the same freaking time. Cool.
Yay!
Amazing.
It's very amazing, Grace. Yeah, so now it's time to take a look at the WWE United Champions. Let's preview and predict this thing. First off, it's the six-pack challenge. We got the champion who happens to be... Go do it, Mace, do it.
Fella.
That's right, Sheamus versus Randy Orton versus John Cena versus Wade Barrett versus Edge versus who? Who? Who's it going to be? Speculate, Mace.
Oh, go on, me first. Well, even with all those great names in there that we've seen battle for the title so many times, with the exception of Wade and Barrett, because who gives a flying fuck about him? I'm going to go with Sheamus, fella.
Go on with Sheamus, all right. All right, Mace, thank you very much. Spug, your turn.
The mystery guy.
The mystery. Who's the mystery guy?
Don't care. Actually, I'm going to say Triple H.
You're going to say Triple H is the mystery guy?
Yes.
You figure it's about time he came back and wrestled a couple matches?
Yes.
That's all right. Omega, what do you
think? I'm glad Spug said it, because now I won't feel stupid, because I thought the same thing.
Okay, well, we'll get to you in a second there, Will, but, yeah, it's Omega's turn, kids.
See, I'm trying to figure out who exactly would be inserted into this match, and I'm coming up with a blank here. And as it is, I mean, if you're taking Chris Jericho out of this, then you've pretty much got every Raw guy that's, you know, top card worthy in this match right now, which was my whole problem with it last time. Because we just got done with a match that had everyone in it already. It just, you know, I don't like these matches where the card, you know, all the wrestlers that should be building up the pay-per-view and should be making bigger matches and having more big matches are all crammed together into one event. I don't understand that kind of booking logic. But unless this is someone way out there like a Triple H, which we know it won't be. We know he's out till about January. Yeah, I'm picking Sheamus to retain.
Sheamus retains. All right. Well, looking at this whole thing, I wouldn't be too surprised if it wind up being Daniel Bryan as the mystery guy. But that might be a little too obvious. They're doing a program between him and The Miz, and that program will go on until Daniel Bryan wins the belt, which is going to happen.
Wait.
What? What?
I know who the mystery guy is.
Who's the mystery guy?
You're Miz. Wrong. Nope. No. Nope.
Think about it. Think about it.
I am thinking about it. Why would he use this? Why would he use this shot before the match? He does it after.
He doesn't have to use his shot to get into the match. Drops the title. He drops the title. Drops the title earlier in the night, and then turns around as the mystery guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that, but we'll get to what my speculation is right after we get to our caller. Caller, you're on WTR Sunday. Who's this, and where you calling from?
Yeah, it's Clint Bowman. I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York. What's going on?
Hey, yo, CJ, what's happening, man?
Nothing much, nothing much. I'm just chilling, listening to this whole thing, you know. I just got back on because, you know, I was trying to avoid the VMAs by playing a little PlayStation 3, which is more entertaining. But anyways.
So you've been following along. We're just talking on the Champions Preview and Predictions right now, the six-pack challenge. You got any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I do. Let's see. I mean, the main reason for the six-pack challenge was to, I'm guessing, you know, protect Wade Barrett, who obviously it looks like Wade Barrett is going to actually win the WWE Championship at Night of Champions. Like, this match was made to protect Wade Barrett because, yes, he is one of the best rookie workers out there right now, but they still need to protect him a little bit.
Huh. What do you think, Omega?
Now, Wade's a great worker, and he's done a great job leading this heel faction. He's been doing a great job of being a threat on Raw, but I just don't see it yet. He hasn't been around enough, and he doesn't have the, like, I will admit, you know, they've got guys from Europe like Sheamus who have come in, they've gone right to the top right away, and I admit it's worked out fairly well, but Wade Barrett just does not have the presence or the believability as a dominant heel champion. Yet.
I mean, no. Here's the thing, though. He doesn't need to be a dominant heel champion. He still would have the Nexus behind him. Plus, that also adds to a jumping point of the destruction of the Nexus because of jealousy and all these other factors. Everybody wants the title. Like, you know, Wade Barrett got the title, granted, but, you know, David Otunga, remember, David Otunga is, you know, the big mouth and the big shot of the group. So basically he's like, oh, I really deserve to be champion, not you. Things like that. You know, people, Justin Gabriel and Heath Slater, all of them getting at it and, you know, Nexus imploding because of that one thing.
Well, yeah, that's possible. And you know, eventually the whole place is going to implode. However, I don't see that yet, if only because they've been in that position, you know, where, you know, Wade Barrett has had this opportunity. He's had this title opportunity the whole time. He's been in the leadership of the Nexus, which has been very powerful on Raw. If any of them showed signs of jealousy, they could have done it now. They could have already taken command of leadership of the Nexus if they honestly thought they could. And that is that's the strongest element to the Nexus right now is that they are unified, you know, unlike most heel factions that do splinter off and break up because, well, no, I'm better than you. No, I want to go after the title. that's the whole crux of this group, that they don't want to do that. They're out for the bigger goal. And, it'll probably come to that eventually, but for now, it would be absolute character assassination to have them break up over jealousy.
Not necessarily true. I mean, not necessarily true. I see your point, and I, taking that point into consideration, I mean, it wouldn't be character assassination, because remember, the Nexus was really designed to make at least two or three stars out of this whole group. And who right now can technically be certified as one of the stars that they're really pushing, that they've really pushed? You know, they're starting to push Bryan Danielson, and I see it. You know, granted, he got released due to a PG violation, according to John Cena, which I personally believe that Danielson was still too sick to work at the time. Because remember, during NXT, he was on and off.
Dude, Bryan Danielson worked in Indy Dayton, Michigan the weekend after he got released.
No, hold on. Before you get all like that, I mean, yes, he might have, but remember, you work in Indy Dayton. He wasn't working that often anyway. Not like the WWE schedule.
Bullshit!
Yo, explain yourself. Don't give me that bullshit. Explain yourself. Bullshit is not an excuse.
No, that dude fucking works an indie date across the country every fucking weekend. He's one of the busiest indie workers out there. That's the reason why WWE picked him up.
Every weekend? Wait, every weekend compared to every day. Think about this. You still get a chance to
recover. The WWE stars aren't working every day. They're working every weekend. They have a 3-day on, 4-day off policy. Before you want to come at me and tell me how hard the WWE guys were, know your fucking facts.
I do know my fucking facts. Don't get at me. Don't fucking get at me like that, man. I know my facts. I'm just saying, this most people, most main eventers, look at the main, most of the main eventers, they work 4 to 5 days a week.
And most indie guys who are the bigger named indie guys are working 3 to 4.
Understandably, and I know that. I'm not stupid.
You think John Cena actually works 4 or 5 days a week? Hell no.
In main event's case, whether it be, you know, doing appearances, working matches, it's still out being out there heavy. Traveling shit.
And so are they. Dude, Bryan Danielson's traveling across the country to go work at some places. He was just out at an event in L.A., the middle
of
the summer,
when
he was released.
I know this. I agree with you, man. I agree with you.
It's,
I understand.
You know,
this. I know this for a fact.
You have to. They're not. They're pushing Bryan Danielson because Bryan Danielson has made himself a star, for one, and two. There's no perfectly good reason to break up the Nexus at this point, because the only viable star you have out of it is Wade Barrett. If it's one thing Vince McMahon has been smart about in his entire 40-plus year career in running the WWE, is that he has been able to make new stars out of nothing.
Yeah, this is true. Absolutely true. Look at Brock Lesnar. Look at Brock Lesnar. Look at Cena. Look at who else? Who else can I think? The Rock. Look at Austin.
It's a cycle. Every 6 or so years, he brings in a group of about 8 or 9 guys,
Maybe one or two of them, if not three, really make it.
Three to four of them work out. You look at the year that he brought in the Hardys. There was Edge and Christian who was there. There were the Hardys. There were the Dudleys. There was a few others that are still with the company.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some have gone other places and come back. Some have never left. But, you know, he brings in people and makes new stars out of them. And right now with the Nexus, which is his current group, among others, there's only one guy who's a bona fide star, let alone a bona fide a bona fide, consistent worker, and that's Wade Barrett.
I mean,
Justin Gabriel's getting there, and I wish Heath Slater would go back to the ginger land that he came from.
I mean, I think you can. I think you're also passing on one more person that name that is not no more is not no long is no longer in the Nexus, and you look at Skip Sheffield, who is a bona fide power player, who can act, who's a perfect power guy, perfect contrast to Wade Barrett.
He looks like a walking penis. How are you going to take somebody who's got Dumbo ears and looks like a giant walking penis seriously?
Just grab a magic marker, draw a line down the back of his head. That's all you got to do, CJ.
Nah, I see. The thing is, look, I see Skip Sheffield as one that is like a not a Batista type, because let's be honest, the last run of Batista was pretty epic, let's be honest. But, you know, like, I see Skip Sheffield, you know, running around the mid-card, you know, holding several mid-card titles and doing very well for himself. Main event, possibly, but more likely main event, mid-card. You know, you look
Sheffield's
at...
Sheffield's not a main eventer.
He's not. He's not.
He can't
he's
talk.
Not.
He can't talk. And in the moment you bring up Batista, the one thing that comes to mind is the number of botches that man had in his last run with the WWE.
But I'm sorry, his charisma was through the freaking roof in his last run.
So was Brock Lesnar's, and Brock Lesnar's was a shitty in-ring worker.
Granted. I mean, you gotta understand, for certain people to look good, you gotta have other people to make them look good too, you know, but still.
It's not somebody else's job to make you look good. It's your job to make yourself look good and the other guy look good. It's a two-way street.
Yeah, I understand this. Like, let's take a look. Let's take a look at the pariah of the freaking internet wrestling community. And you guys know exactly what the hell I'm talking about.
Mention a name. Come on, throw it out there.
Hey, I'm giving it y'all a fucking John Cena, damn it. I mean, look at him. One of the greatest workers today. Like, I made a comparison. I was talking with a bunch of people last night at, you know, a couple of my friends well before, and a couple of people last night at the Ring of Honor show. And I was saying, you know, John Cena is this generation Hulk Hogan with mic skills rivaling those of The Rock's, and, you know, a work ethic like Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, he's an amalgam of those three guys, and people hate him for what reason? I mean, he looks good, and he makes other people look good. You know, you hate him for that.
If I'd go that far...
No, he can make people look good. He's made people look good. I'm sorry, like, the jumping point of Miz's big push was working with Cena on Raw. And Miz is right now in the current of the biggest push of his career.
Okay, Bowman?
All you?
The reason why a lot of people do not like Cena is because he's been shoved down our throat for the last 6 fucking years.
No, not the last 6 fucking years. Don't give me that. 2007, they laid off that motherfucker real big.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. Wait. 2007 was his best year, granted, but they laid off him. They laid him so much. 2008, they still laid off him a little bit. Who was the major champion from 2008-2009? Who was
Cena?
Randy Orton as well.
Randy Orton hasn't held a title since he beat John. Fuck, what the fuck, dude? Papa Man.
When was Orton the champion? I remember what WrestleMania was and when Orton was champion. Fuck.
The one he fought Triple H.
24. Because that was a triple threat between Cena, Triple H, and Orton. He held it 24, and I think he held it going into 25. No, that was Triple H who held it going into 25. And Orton won that going into going after Backlash. The two major Raw champions were Orton and Cena for 2008, 2009, and 2010. Granted, you get the little runs between with Triple H and with Sheamus. But other than that, it was Cena and Orton and Batista.
WrestleMania.
And if you go back and actually have a look at most of those matches, it's Cena and insert name here.
WrestleMania 23. live from
Cena versus, I believe, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, so that was your champion in 2007, and they were all over Cena in 2007.
Yeah, they were really all over him. I understand that.
And that was the year that they supposedly backed off of him, according to you. So let's keep going.
Yeah, they did start to back off of him in 2007. Look at 2008. Randy makes a good point, and he makes a good point. He ain't win the belt until 2008. Granted, he was injured, but still, it was more Orton than Cena in 08. And in 2009, it was like ping pong between him and Cena and Batista.
2008, Randy Orton defeated John Cena in Triple H, WWE Championship.
Yeah.
But, alright, let's keep going. Let's keep going, because I want to see just how much they've backed off of him. Because WrestleMania is the big telling point. Hold on. Results from Houston, 2009, WrestleMania 25. Let's see. WWE heavyweight title match.
World Heavyweight
Oh my.
But that was the World Heavyweight Championship, and he didn't really hold that belt for too long, did he?
But he's in a main event at WrestleMania, and they're
big
supposed
deal.
To go back
like
off.
Big deal. I'm
Shut
sorry.
Shut your fucking mouth.
What else was the main event at WrestleMania? Oh, freaking Undertaker and Michaels. Come on, that's not a point. That's freaking Orton and Triple H were in the main event too.
Let's see, WrestleMania 26 from Phoenix, Arizona.
Cena versus Batista.
Another title match. Cena versus Batista.
Who is champion going in though?
Let's go a little bit. Let's go forward a little bit. Let's try and find a year where Cena wasn't in one of the main events at WrestleMania. Chicago? No, he was there fighting Triple H. So that was WrestleMania 22. Let's go 2005. 2005, WrestleMania from LA.
Yeah, but that
was WrestleMania 20.
It was WrestleMania 20 when he opened the show. But it doesn't matter.
That's the only time he's not been in a world title match at WrestleMania.
Here's the thing. You're saying it as like he's getting his... think about that. You're saying that he's getting shoved down the throat. You're saying he's getting shoved down the throat. Yes, he was getting shoved down the throat. Now he's not really getting shoved down our throats as much. But you're still fucking hating on him. What's the reason for that shit? I mean, he's bona fide one of the greatest workers out there. He's like one of the greatest workers there right now. You know, he's doing his thing. I'm sorry, but it's just a fact that people hate on success. I mean, that's grand. If I was the face of a company and I'm freaking jumping all over the place and people hating on me, talking about, just only four or five moves. That Bret Hart, the same thing. Triple H, the same thing. Randy Orton, the same thing. But they don't shit on him. Hulk Hogan was the same thing. Boom. Think about that one.
Dude.
All right. I'm going to interject I'm going to interject really quickly, just throw something in here. You're talking about, we got a little bit of a pro and a con going for John Cena right here. You guys brought up Randy Orton, and I'm going to point out that Randy Orton was not accepted as a babyface when WWE made him babyface. And it was a very similar situation. Randy Orton was shoved down our throats. We didn't accept him as the good guy. He went back to being the heel. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, the crowd is behind Randy Orton, and they weren't pushing him to be the good guy. It just happened. The crowd made Orton the good guy. And right now, Orton, it's his time to shine, as opposed to John Cena. Or what's his name that you were talking about? What is your opinion on that in comparison to what you guys are talking about with Cena?
Well, yeah, or agree. Good point. I mean, Orton was shoved down our throats. A lot of people were shoved down our throats in the past. You know, a lot of people. I mean, I make a good point. And you know what? The fans did make things kind of like. No, I can't say for Punk because the whole situation with Jeff Hardy actually made him a whole heel. I can't say that for Punk, but granted, I mean, explain your point again because I had it in my head and I need a refresher. You said that, you know, now the intention wasn't for Orton to be the face.
No, it wasn't. Orton earned his respect the proper way. He earned it. He earned it. He went out there, they tried, shut up, I'm talking now. We listen to you, it's our turn.
Sorry, CJ, but that's...
understand. I see your point. The thing is, the same thing would be
I'm
simple.
I'm not done.
All right. Go ahead.
I'm not done. Orton, when Orton fought Chris Benoit for the WWE, for the title, for the World Heavyweight title, he was with Evolution, and he was a heel. And then they had Evolution dump him, and they tried to make him a face, and people hated it. They tried to shove Orton down our throats. People hated it. They turned on him. Then they made Orton a heel again. And Orton's been a heel for how long now? And all of a sudden, instead of getting boos, he's getting cheers. When he goes for that kick, that field goal kick, he's getting pops. People are all on Randy Orton now. Why? Because he earned their respect the proper way. He earned it the hard way. The thing with John Cena is nobody is saying that the man doesn't have in-ring talent. I've said it on several occasions, and anyone on this panel will agree with you. John Cena's a very talented wrestler. He knows how to work a mic. He knows how to do the things the way they're supposed to be done in a wrestling ring. And he may be a very, very stand-up guy. The unfortunate thing with Cena is he's a very, very pretty face to shove on camera and shove down your wrestling fans' throats as the face of your company. And what unfortunately happens when you continue to do that is you get heat the wrong way. You start getting Sean Waltman heat, and people begin to hate John Cena, because of who he is, not
but
what
most
he's
of the
done.
People, for most of the people that hate John Cena, to hate John Cena, a.k.a. giving them X-Pac heat, is the internet wrestling fans who think they know shit. I mean, I'm not saying that I know what I know. I'm not saying that I know everything. I know what I know, and I know there's a lot that I don't know. But if you look at it this way, too, you know they also tried to shove The Rock down our throats, and they turned on him as well.
What happened to The Rock?
What happened to The Rock?
Yeah,
well,
what happened?
Same thing that happened with Orton. But
exactly.
Well, let me tell you what. No, guys. I'll tell you what happened to The Rock. The Rocky Johnson, okay, Rocky Maivia, Rocky was rejected, absolutely rejected by the fans. And the chants were, die, Rocky, die, every time he came out. So what did he do? Dwayne Johnson took a chance. He decided he was going to take his character in a different direction. He was getting heat when he was supposed to be getting pops. So he said, fine, watch this. He goes out and he cuts a promo. What was the first three words of that promo?
Ooh.
Die, Rocky, die. He acknowledged, unlike John Cena is not doing, he acknowledged the fans' dislike for his character.
He has.
He really hasn't. Because
yeah, he has.
WWE,
he has a lot. Not more recently, but he has.
You know what WWE did when the number of boos in a crowd for John Cena overwhelmed the cheers? They piped in artificial crowd noise over the edit.
But hear this out. Also, I can remember a promo that John Cena did where he actually quoted Allen Iverson saying that for every 1 million people that like him, 6 million hate him. He actually quoted that, and I remember what year was that I was watching. I think it was about 2006 or 2007.
Yeah, and Bowman, with that, he brushes it off. Guys like Orton and The Rock, who eventually became fan favorites by the fans, they accepted it and worked with it. Cena works against it. That's where it's pissing people off.
And that was the point that I was getting at. Thank you very much, Mace.
No, but I understand that. I'm just saying. He's acknowledged in the past, and I think he still subtly acknowledges still that he knows the fans don't like him. But granted, he said he's not working against. He says, I'm just going to keep doing what I do, regardless of what the fans think, because I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm getting paid to do what I'm doing. You guys,
so
are, you
know what? Fuck the fans.
You're coming. You're paying to come see me. That's the thing. That's why
I'm not. If I go to a WWE show, I'm not paying to go see John Cena.
But
I could care less.
But that's you. A lot of people are coming this day. Most people go to WWE events to boo the man.
Retarded soccer moms and little kids who don't know any better do not make up an audience.
Yeah, but they make up most of the money that's going in there because...
They make up the money, but they don't make up the audience.
They make
Hang on, CJ. The problem there, you both got a point here, okay? They don't make up the audience, but they make up the money. Now, here's when the bean counters come into effect, okay? To them, the audience is the money. You have to keep that into account when you're arguing either side, either for or against. It's a sad fact of life, but nevertheless, it's what drives the gears of business.
Absolutely.
Okay, and can I bring this up about the merchandise thing? All right, as somebody who is in what the WWE loves to call a niche market, which is why we don't get Raws or SmackDown broadcast tapings done here, when they bring down for the tours, they bring down a small portion of their merchandise. For every one Sheamus, Randy Orton, Edge shirt they've got, they've got five fucking John Cena shirts. Why? I don't fucking know. There's tens of thousands of the shirts left over at the end of them, but who are the ones that sell out? Guys like Sheamus, Randy Orton, Edge, those limited shirts that they don't think that we're not going to buy. Because nobody's buying the Cena shit down here anymore. I know, again, Australia, niche market. Nobody gives a flying fuck about us. I'll be honest with you. We make up less than 1% of any fucking merchandise sale. I know this. But as
a
fan,
when they
turn around, thank you, Spug. But when they turn around and they give you no option but to choose to buy Cena shit,
they turn away. Yes, that's understandably. You know, I understand. That's a caveat of business. That's a caveat of business. Yes, I use the $5 word, but you know. Understand it. I mean, look at it this way. All right. You take the biggest markets for wrestling. What are the three biggest markets for wrestling right now?
Three biggest markets have always been the USA, Japan, and the UK.
Indeed. Now, let me see if I can remember some of the figures. I know in America, I know the big one, two of the biggest sellers in the WWE in terms of merchandise are Mysterio.
Biggest
and
sellers are fuck, man, dude. I want some of that.
Yeah,
put that on a t-shirt, man. Fuck on a t-shirt.
There are too many. Yeah, no, there are too many bad jokes that can go right there.
Oh yeah,
there, so
that fucking good shit.
Yeah, there's Cena and Mysterio, the two of the biggest sellers in America and in North America, and I believe the UK as well. You know, I'm not sure.
Compared to how the merchandise has been played, you know, I didn't bring up Mysterio. That's because he usually has two or three shirts out there to every one of all the other guys.
Absolutely.
See, it's sort of weird to play the money angle when you take a look at your merchandise when it's geared to very specific people. And, you know, it's one thing of having, you know, saying Cena's been shoved down our throat. Rey Mysterio, you could say, has been shoved down our throat, but a lot of people remember him from his WCW days and have watched him grow up through the business. As opposed to Cena, who from day one, he's come out, he did the heel thing. It was working for him quite well, but then people started to catch on and sort of start cheering him. They made him into a face, and then from there on, from this one-year leap between WrestleMania 20 and 21, he went from mid-card heel to a main event face.
Technically, WrestleMania 20.
Something went wrong. Something from there started to irk the fans.
No, 20.
And it's not just the IWC, like you've said. There are a lot of casual fans who can't stand Cena.
Hold on. I see your point, but I'm trying to remember. No. It wasn't 24. Because 20, he went into the face. I think it was Survivor Series of 03.
Yeah, oh. See. You just know way too much about Cena, and I'm gonna kind of guess that you're a Cena mark.
No, technically, no. I'm more of a Shelton Benjamin mark than anything.
Again, mark still, nonetheless.
We're all marks. Think about that one. But I know a lot. I mean, I started watching more seriously around, I was in high school about 2002. So I started watching more seriously around 2002. So I started knowing, I started, you know, doing a little more research, following things, you know, things like that. You know, but it's things, you know, like, granted, everybody has their little one caveat of the business that they know specifically well. Like, specifically the SmackDown side of things. Because that's all I used to get. This is why I know more about, you know, 2002 to 2008 SmackDown. Because that's all I used to see. For the most part. I used to have to catch Raw on YouTube and things like that.
Okay. Well, look, at this point, CJ, we're going to have to let you go. It's been great having a nice long debate slash chat with you. But we do have other segments we need to take care of, like the great debate and other things, so we're going to let you go and take a quick break.
All right, definitely, man.
Yeah. Yeah, take care. I just want to say, hey, guys, gals, everybody, that was CJ Bowman. You're going to hear a little bit more about CJ Bowman and a little bit more from CJ Bowman in the coming weeks. Stay tuned. We'll let you know what's going down on that one. You'll listen to the Rust Talk Radio, WTSN tonight, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network on the other side of this next time out. WTR Roundtable. We're going to talk a little bit with Chris Jericho. We'll be back right after this.
My time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me. My time is now.
In case you forgot or fell off, I'm still hot. Knock your shell off. My money stacked fat, plus I can't turn the swell off. The franchise doing big business. I live this. It's automatic. I win this. Yo, you hear those horns, you finish. A soldier. And I stay under you fighting. Plus I'm storming on these chumps like I'm thunder and lightning. Ain't no way you breaking me, kid. I'm harder than nails. Plus I keep it on lock like I'm part of the jail. I'm slaughtering stale competition. I got the whole block wishing they could run with my division, but they don't.
Hey Omega, did you hear that OWW Radio has a new host?
A new host? Really?
Oh, yes and no. He's the old host, but he's now the new host. So, on behalf of the Wild Talk Radio Network, I would like to introduce the new host of OWW Radio, Alan Wojnarowski.
No, Mace, you have it wrong. It's Alan Wojnarowski.
Are you sure? I thought it was Alan Montonsubi.
The name is Alan Wojcik. How many times do I have to spell it out for you people? As these guys are trying to tell you, I'm the host of Online World of Wrestling Radio, which airs on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Tuesday night, around 9-ish, I guess, Eastern Time. Remember, we're on Eastern Time. So basically, me and whoever's joining me runs out of stuff to say. It's a brand new era in Online World of Wrestling Radio, where your opinion actually matters.
As the owner of Wild Talk Radio, I'd like to welcome Alan Wojcik. Who the fuck is Internet Daves it?
The name is Wojcik.
To the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You know my name.
This is a public service message from your friends at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday nights at midnight, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, a show that has a reputation to sometimes take things a little too far with their use of vulgar language and explicit content. We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are here to tell you that we will not stand for this any longer. We are going to make sure that Cigarette Butts and Bandanas cleans up its act. There will no longer be any use of vulgar language. There will be no more explicit content, and no one will be offended when they tune in to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for your support, and continue to listen to the new and improved Cigarette Butts.
Screw that. Join us Saturday nights, where we will take things to the extreme, the only way we know how, with the no limits and uncensored nature of the one and only Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey you! Yeah you! The one tuned in to WildTalkRadio.com. I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you for tuning into this fine program right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is
Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team, and you're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to WTR, Southern Network Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. One hell of a debate going on between caller C.J. Bowman and the Spud guy and, well, basically the rest of us. C.J., you've got some interesting points. I don't know, maybe you should start yourself up a radio show or something like that. Okay, so everybody, don't forget we've got Quick Hits coming up. We're going to be doing another edition of the Great Debate. But before we get to that, we've got the WTR Roundtable.
It's time for tonight's WTR Roundtable.
That's right. It's time for tonight's WTR Roundtable. Simple question. We go around the table and give our thoughts and opinions. I don't think we're going to put too much of a time limit on this one. But, you know, we'll try to keep it as close to a good time as possible. Your question for tonight for the Roundtable, please join us in the chat room. You can discuss along with us as we get to it. But the question is Chris Jericho a first ballot Hall of Fame candidate? Mace has gone for the phone. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. So we'll ask, we'll start with you, Omega.
I'm trying to think body of work here. You know what? Yes. Yes, Jericho is a first round candidate for the Hall of Fame. He is the, you know, as soon as he's on the ballot, he's in. You got to remember, he's one of the last guys who was able to jump ship in a huge way. You know, when he, you know, he made an enormous impact when he came over to the WWF at the time, and his entrance and his debut is still one of the most memorable of all time. And that's just because he was such an amazing personality in WCW, and everyone knew that he was squandered there. You know, you hated Jericho, but he was so damn good at making you hate him. You wanted to see him more. You wanted him to see better and go bigger. You know, and he did it in the WWF. You know, when he, you know, between just extremely memorable feuds, you know, with Stephanie, with The Rock. You know, anytime you put him and Rock on TV at the same time, it was absolute gold. You know, whether they were face, heel, no matter what, those two on camera, they knew how to work against each other. And then you put him as the first undisputed champion of all time. And yeah, that was a huge vote of confidence from the WWE. And if they didn't realize what they had with Jericho, they never would have done that in the first place. They never would have given him such an amazing accolade for his, for his records. And ever since then, you know, unfortunately, world titles are few and far between for Jericho, but when he does have the world title, he's a very convincing champion. He has an awe, he has that aura about him of a high class elite champion. And I've said it many times on this show, the dude's a fucking Bond villain. You know, I would cast him as the villain in any action movie ever, because he can play such, I love him as a face. Some of his promos made me laugh harder than anything on WWE TV. But, good lord, the guy, when he was on SmackDown, where the writing is supposed to be worse, he was a far better villain because they were using him a lot better than they do over on Raw. And, just, you know, just the way they've been using him lately just does not do the guy credit, because he can play such a hilarious face, such a lovable face, but he can play an incredibly sinister and evil heel. The guy has so much range and is probably one of the least appreciated talents that is working today. You know, if he, you know, if he, in, you know, 5 years from now, if he's been retired and he's going, you know, and he's, you know, eligible for Hall of Fame, I don't know requirements from the WWE, but yeah, I think he's worth putting in the second you can put him in.
Okay, Will, you're with us, aren't you?
Yep.
Your turn.
I really think Omega pretty much covered everything there is to cover. There's really nothing I disagree with. I know that's a great way to come back after so many months, but Jericho's easily been one of the best all-around performers that WWE has ever had. Just from the beginning, his entrance made you know who he was. I mean, that countdown clock is still one of my favorite moments. Just what was in, like, August or something when, oh, look, it's the new millennium. What the hell? And here comes Jericho. He's got that goofy ponytail on the top of his head. And just his promo work was easy. Just he stuck in your head, and you're like, I want to see that guy next week. And from there, he's just been able to keep it up the entire time. And there's, you know, he'd easily be a first round Hall of Famer.
Okay. Spuggy, have you got anything to say about Chris Jericho?
I'm going to say no. He's not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
And why is that?
Granted, the man is an amazing promo artist. He's an amazing heel, and he's an amazing in-ring worker. He's been all over the world. But there are individuals that help build that company from the ground up who are not even recognized by that Hall of Fame yet. And until they recognize them, Chris Jericho belongs nowhere near it.
Wow. What an interesting point of view.
I'm done. That's
I
all
disagree
I got.
With. Yeah, well, I disagree with what you say. I think he's a first round, first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, he comes in and basically steals the show from The Rock when he makes his debut. And like, you know, like you said, Omega, they gave him made him the world's first and so far only, really, unified heavyweight champion in the WWE. And he is used to get the people over that WWE is desperate to get over. And if that isn't some kind of a nod to your abilities and your accomplishments, you know, there's a saying, and Mason, Spug, you guys should know this saying, you know, he wrestled a broom and made it look good.
Oh.
So, you know, as far as him getting in on the first belt, yeah, hell yeah. I can't see why not. And I'm just wondering if we're going to get Mace back in time for this, but I don't think so. funny, Rock. Yeah, the only person who can make a broom look good is Perry Saturn. He paints a face on it and calls it Moppy.
But what if you put a horse head on it and call it Pepe?
That's Chavo.
Put a horse.
Hey.
That's, yeah. Gimmick infringement, you're stealing from Chavo.
It's the only gimmick he had.
Oh, come on, he had other gimmicks. I can't personally remember what that was.
Oh yeah, Vicky Guerrero's bitch.
I was surprised to see him on SmackDown. I thought he had died or something.
Kerwin White. He's...
Oh, yeah, because that was so great.
Yeah. Go ahead, Spug.
Jericho is an awesome talent. He really is. Just, I can't when you still haven't honored guys like Rude and Savage and so on in your Hall of Fame, you can't put Jericho in. You can't.
I don't know about that. Seriously.
That would be... Not having guys like Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, and Lou Gehrig in the Hall of Fame, but putting Barry Bonds in the moment he broke Hank Aaron's record.
Oh, I don't think that your comparison is apt at all. Omega, you got anything to say at this point in time? Spug's been talking about?
It's not right, dude. It's not right. It's not great.
Well, there you go. WTR Roundtable. Chris Jericho, by a majority, is a first ballot Hall of Fame candidate, as chosen by us, the WTR panel. Spug, do you want to do this next one? Do you want to do it?
Yes!
Do you want to intro this? Yeah.
Yes! Oh,
it's
God!
What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Yes!
Pants on!
Oh, man, wipe off your computer monitor. Jesus.
It's time for the great debate.
No fancy intro music here.
What the fuck?
There's no fancy intro at the moment, Spug. So it's time for the great debate. And our great debate this time is...
Best gimmick matches.
The best gimmick matches ever. Tonight, we're starting off with Iron Man versus Ultimate X, and then the latter takes on location matches. And Spug, because you're jizzing all over this thing, why don't you start it off with latter versus location?
You have to explain.
Okay, well then explain it to everybody.
You have to explain. What we've done is we've taken categories of the best gimmick matches, ladder matches, cage matches, battle royals, and so on. And some people will go, you know, I can hear it now. Why isn't the steel cage in there? It is. But we have them in categories. Cage matches include the Elimination Chamber, Hell in a Cell, Six Sides of Steel, all of that. So if you're looking for a great debate of what's better, the Elimination Chamber or the Hell in a Cell, you're not going to get it. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
All right. Well, now that you've thrown it out there, you start us off.
What is it again? Ladder match versus location?
Yep. Ladder versus location.
Well, the ladder match... While the location match can give us interesting moments as far as, you know, Eddie Guerrero versus, was that Brock Lesnar, where he pinned him on the hood of the car and then rode off in the lowrider? The location match can give us very interesting moments. The ladder match, however, has given us some very iconic moments. Shawn Michaels coming off the top onto Razor Ramon. Some of the Money in the Bank moments that weren't botches.
I Shelton.
So there's been so many moments that came from various ladder matches themselves that play more of a part in the wrestling lexicon than location matches do. So my vote is for ladder matches.
Ladder matches 1, location 0. All right, Will, your turn.
One of the last times I was on, I distinctly remember talking about how much I love ladder matches. So it's kind of obvious which I'm going to pick. Just truth be told, off the top of my head, I really can't remember any
location, man. Well, no, that's a lie. I remember one, but it was fucking horrible. And that was the Hardcore Junkyard Invitational in WCW. So to compare that to Ladders, where, you know, I've got so many favorite moments. Other people have so many moments they remember. Just like Spoke said, Sean coming off the ladder onto Razor Ramon. And actually, another one I liked was Sean hit the super kick while standing on a ladder to Razor, who was standing on another ladder. You know, I thought that was awesome. Just all the stuff we've seen that they can do with ladders and all the great moments easily puts it over any location match.
Okay, so ladder match there. Omega.
I will agree that while a location match, you know, they're fighting, in the junkyard, or, I guess an empty arena would count as a location gimmick. It provides some great moments, but the ladder match provides innovation. Things that, like, I always feel that when you take a match to a special location, you know, we're going to be, you know, we're going to have a match, we're going to have a barroom brawl. Okay, fine. You know, so you're going to walk someone around and throw their head into, you know, things you'd find in a bar. Whoa. You know, it might look neat on TV, but in a way it limits you. You don't have ropes. You don't have things to climb on. You don't have softer areas to throw people down or hit anything too hard like you would a normal match. You actually limit how much you can see, whereas a ladder adds so many more possibilities to a match. You know, and looking at things like, you know, TLCs at WrestleMania or the Money in the Bank, just to see what can be done with a ladder or two. It's astonishing just how much one prop can change a match. So, for me, that is a ladder match, and that gets my vote.
Yeah. There you go. So, ladder match. Yeah, I'm picking the ladder match myself, and there's one thing I'm going to throw in there that nobody's talked about, and I don't know if you guys want to discount this. You shouldn't, but in addition to watching TNA on television and WWE on TV, I enjoy going to the indie shows. Now, here's the situation. When you have a location match in an indie show, it doesn't exactly work. The ladder match, you can have the ladder match all over the building in the arena, you know, where the fans are. It doesn't have to stay in the ring. The location match, it doesn't work because the fans, you know, like bylaws and all this other stuff, you can't leave to follow the wrestlers as they beat each other up in the parking lot and then take it over into the soccer field next door and stuff like that. They don't let you do things like that. That's, another reason. Location matches, sure. You know, like you said, Spud, sometimes come up with gems. You remember The Undertaker years and years ago had some kind of a match in a graveyard. Wasn't that against Shawn Michaels?
It was the precursor to the Buried Alive match.
Yeah. Right, and that was kind of interesting. But you know, you get into these big arenas with the major promotions, and they have the camera, and then you see it on the Jumbotron or the Titantron or whatever you want to call it at that point in time, and you can sit there and you can cheer as you're watching it on the big huge screen. There are no big screens in indie promotions; it's too expensive to run something like that. Too much technical stuff. And, that's just one of the things that I'm taking into account here. The ladder match, has a special place for me, seeing as, I got to witness the, world's first ever ladder match, taking place here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, at Stampede Wrestling. So,
there is debate over that, good sir, by the way.
Well, the debate's incorrect, so shut up. It was the ladder match.
It is not incorrect. There is a ladder match on record, on date, before Stampede's first ever ladder match. And it took place in London, England.
Yeah, but that wasn't real, so it doesn't count. Anyway, the fact of the matter is, I'm choosing the ladder match. Ladder matches are the most enjoyable thing out of the two. And that's my pick. Rock, your turn.
You know, I was trying to make a point, you know, so it doesn't seem like it's all everyone picking ladder matches. I was going to be different and pick location matches, but it's like the debate's already over. Because you had Boiler Room Brawls with The Undertaker and Mankind. They were awesome. You had some great street fights and parking lot brawls with JBL, Eddie Guerrero. The list goes on and on. They were some great matches that people actually remember. But you all picked a ladder match, so it's pointless.
So there, Mace, ladder match or location match?
Ladder match.
Okay, moving. No, you have to.
Bullshit! I've been away for the past 15 minutes. I just got a phone call for a job interview. So, fuck. Give me a chance to catch up, why don't you?
Well, get the goddamn job.
I will, and then that means that I won't be on here anymore.
Oh, well, then don't get the goddamn job.
Yeah, don't end up like me.
Fuck off, I need the money. How else am I going to go and see Spuckin?
Able to pay bills. Oh, that's terrible.
Exactly.
Next topic.
Let's not talk about paying bills. All right, so the ladder match moves on. The next great debate, the Iron Man match versus the Ultimate X match. Mace, we'll start with you.
Iron Man versus Ultimate X. I'd probably go with the Iron Man match, mainly because it involves a bit more wrestling than Ultimate X.
Okay. So that's it? That's all you got?
That's pretty much it, man.
Okay, moving on. We'll go to you, Spug.
I'm going to say Ultimate X.
Ooh.
Because as long as the Iron Man's been around, as far as WWE is concerned, the very first one, in their opinion, was Bret versus Shawn. And there's been a handful after that, but they weren't really that memorable. Does anybody remember Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar? The Triple H Iron Man match. Not many people talk about those. They didn't provide too many moments. But Ultimate X has provided us with some great moments and great wrestling. Because you have to be innovative as hell and climb like a monkey to get up that scaffolding and cross the rope and all that shit. Even if it is for a Lexan looking X.
All right, so we're tied up at one here. Will.
I was thinking about saying Iron Man match, but then, you know, there's Spug, and I got to thinking, what other Iron Man matches do I really remember? I mean, I remember Hunter versus The Rock, but, I mean, the only big moment in that was The Undertaker's return. You know, I remember the 30-minute one between Shawn and Angle. But, you know, whoever talks about that match? And there was what? Benoit and Triple H. But again, who talks about it? On the other hand, Ultimate X, while it is thrown all over the place by TNA, also can still, with the right guys, still be a pretty damn cool match. The one between the Guns and... Generation Me was absolutely fantastic, and just the moments they provide are simply awesome, and I'm going to have to choose that over Iron Man.
Okay, so Ultimate X, 2-1. Omega.
You know, Spug made some really good arguments. You know, yeah, the Ultimate X provides some great wrestling. It provides some great moments, and it is a little bit different. It brings some variety to the whole gimmickscape. That being said, I'm still going with the Iron Man match. Just
Ooh,
because
okay.
as gimmicks go, it's a guarantee that you're going to get a match that goes 3 times longer than normal. And it is a match where feuds go to die. That is a be-all, end-all. It's a test of endurance. It is an absolute, you know, absolute brawl and war of attrition between two wrestlers. And it's supposed to go, it's supposed to test every limit with no, with, you know, no cage to bounce people off of, no bringing in weapons, no out, you know, usually no outside interference, but it's the two men, their ability, and 60 minutes on the clock. That is it. Not only is it a strong gimmick, it is a pure wrestling match while still having a gimmick. You know, it is an one of those ultimate tests in professional wrestling. It, you know, not just for a feud and a storyline, but also just the conditioning of the wrestlers going in. You have to be an A-class wrestler to be in a match like this. You know, if you don't have the training for it, if you are not up to that kind of physical endurance, you have no place in one of these matches. You know, and I do remember those Iron Man matches. I remember the one on Raw between Chris Benoit and Triple H. You know, I remember Lesnar and Angle. You know, Angle, you know, spent the last bit of that match trying to snap Lesnar's ankle and couldn't do it. You know, I remember those moments. Yes, they're not as flashy or, you know, or highlight worthy as something from an Ultimate X, but as a gimmick, I feel it presents a far stronger match and a far better showcase for the wrestlers involved in it.
Huh. Interesting. So we're kind of sort of tied up. Well, I guess it's up to me to break the tie. Now, taking a look at the Ultimate X match, when you look at everything TNA has to offer, I have to admit that the Ultimate X is pretty much just about my favorite TNA match. Every time they announce they got an Ultimate X, I make sure that, you know, I'm watching it. And I find it extremely enjoyable 7 times out of 10, which is, you know, a pretty high rating. You can't expect to enjoy everything all the time. You can't expect to have something go off without a hitch every single time you throw it, and we have seen a couple that, you know, presented a couple of hiccups. That being said, you know, when you say Iron Man match, the first one that pops into my head, and I'm not saying this to date myself or anything like that, it's the 65-minute Iron Man match between Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, where there was only one pinfall in the entire thing. And the two of them put on an hour-long and change clinic. And it's something like that. The other thing about it is the X matches, or, you know, the Ultimate X, the matches are on so often in comparison to Iron Man matches. Iron Man matches are still held back and offered. You're lucky to see an one a year, two a year if you check out all the promotions. You know, even then, that's pushing it. It's still, quote unquote, a treat, I guess you could say. And some of the best wrestling can be had between two really, really capable wrestlers in an Iron Man match, mainly because they have to go for as long as they have to go and, you know, entertain the crowd. So my guess is for the Iron Man match, which means the Iron Man match squeaks past the Ultimate X.
Unless Rock has a vote.
Rock, Rock, do you get a vote? Do you want to vote? Do you want to vote? You get a vote?
I could be a dick and say Ultimate X, and then you would need a caller.
Just to be a dick, and then we'd have to get somebody to call in. But you're not going to do that, are you?
No, because I actually like the Iron Man match better. That's all.
Fuck you, Rock.
So, yeah, I was about to say, your plan has been thwarted, Spuggy.
We almost had the upset of the lifetime, a 12 seed beating a 1, but, you know, they moved on. Iron Man match moved on.
Okay, let go of the football game, Rock. It's over.
No, but, no. The Iron Man match is the number 1 seed, and the other one is the 12 seed in our whole ranking system.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So the Iron Man match moves on, and so does the ladder match moves on right here with Great Debate. That brings us to our next break. No, we're not going to take it. We're just going to dive right into Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wildfire.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Yeah, Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits, and we're going to start today with the guy that has decided to grace us with his presence for the first time in like 4 freaking months or something like that. Will, your first question. What is Kevin Nash's legacy in wrestling?
I almost want to say his politics, but I mean, he's never been the greatest worker in the ring. He's been passable, though. He's not as terrible as a lot of people will say. And, you know, without the jaded bullshit, he's easily always been one of the greatest mic workers that I've ever had the fortune to listen to. I love listening to his promos, and his backstage stuff is usually full of personality. But really, to the average person, his legacy is going to be the NWO.
The NWO. All right, Kevin Nash's legacy is the NWO. Omega, what are the top 3 things you would change about the WWE product?
God, does it have to be just 3?
Yeah, just the top.
Number one, they have to have some longevity in their storylines. They can't. I think it's really hurting them by going month after month after month. You know, and basically making it up on the fly. We've had tons of reports that they aren't making any long-term plans anymore. You know, and I understand the reasons for that, but the best stories and subsequently the best payoffs at pay-per-views came in the Attitude Era, where you had these huge, you know, 4-month storylines leading up to a match. You know, it made it exciting. It made it intriguing. The feuds these days are so bare bone, I can't really get behind a storyline. Let's see. That's one. Number two, there needs to be some kind of mix up on Raw. Yeah, as far as the top card goes, they need to bring someone in without, you know, completely depleting SmackDown's roster like they did at the last draft. They need a little variety, and they need a little bit more fresh talent in the top card, and they haven't been getting it out there nearly as fast as they need to. And 3, can we get rid of Vicky Guerrero? I am absolutely... No. Okay. That is the most irritating thing in the WWE right now. Vicky Guerrero is as useful as a nun's tits. We need to get rid of her.
Okay, we can accept that. And Mace, what are 5 keys to being a successful tag team?
5 keys of being a successful tag team. Well, obviously, teamwork, gimmick, longevity, being able to get over with the crowd, having guys to actually go up against who give a shit and don't try to bury you every 2 seconds. Sorry, bad tag team experience. That's 5. Congratulations.
All right, you made it through. Congratulations, yeah. And Spud, who would be your number one draft pick in a wrestling fantasy league?
Number one draft pick in a wrestling fantasy league?
Well,
you got to go with a superstar. You got to go with somebody who can give you the long haul. You got to go with somebody who's going to win the fans over.
I'm going to go with Zack Ryder. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
He's allowed to kid you, do.
If he wasn't hurt all the goddamn time, I'd say The Undertaker, but unfortunately, I got to pick John Cena.
Ooh. Damn, that must have hurt.
Question number two, starting off with Will. Yep, once again, here we go. Will, what's the one wrestling finishing move you wish you were on the receiving end of, and why?
Fuck, I don't know, actually. I'm trying to think of a woman who can actually do a finishing move, but none of them come to mind.
Oh, give it up.
Yeah, they can't wrestle, can they? I'd say Shawn Michaels' Sweet Chin Music, just to say I got my face kicked in.
By Shawn Michaels?
Yes.
Okay, good enough. Sweet Chin Music by Shawn Michaels, if you please. Omega, if you were to perform a duet with any singer, who would it be and what song would you choose?
Oh, God.
Sing a song.
God, it'd have to be a worse singer than me, and there's not many. God, I don't know music. This is a horrible question for me.
Okay. Pick Chris Jericho because he's the lead singer of Fozzy.
Then I have, oh God, I don't even know what a spot. He's, Okay, you know what? Yeah, I can do that, because he is a worse singer than me. I don't know what
okay,
to sing.
Sure. There you go. Well, we'll go with that one. Spug, you're going to hate this. Are you ready?
Sure.
If you could sit down, and you can't be an asshole about this, you have to be sincere. If you could sit down with Bret Hart and ask him 5 questions about his career, what would the 5 questions be?
Number 1, why did you shit on the business and your dad's legacy by refusing to drop the title in Canada when it was the right thing to do? 2.
Oh boy.
Number 2, why won't you come out and defend your family's honor by bitch smacking Martha Hart in the mouth and telling her to know her place? 3.
Whoa.
3. Why don't you stand up a little bit more for yourself and your place in wrestling history? 4. Number 4, quit whining about the fact that you got passed over for Hogan. He was a better name than you anyway. That's not really a question, more of a statement. 5. And finally, number 5. Can you put on a better match that has more than 6 moves in it?
Oh, God. I can see where you'd come up with number 2. But that being said, Mace, here's your second question of the night. If you could have any current WWE diva come out of your birthday cake, who would it be and why?
Current diva.
Yeah.
I go with Maryse only because I have a way to shut her up.
A way to shut her up? I'm afraid to ask.
But that goes against one of the WTR rules of don't stick your dick in it.
There you go, yeah. And if you want to know what that's all about, hit the archives. I think it was like 3 weeks ago we brought up the Kip James saga. And, you know, Radar Online. Oh, Radar Online breaks the Kip James news. Bullshit. We were basically the first ones to bring it up on anything other than YouTube. And then
don't
other people took
it. Dick in it.
That's been our motto since we found out, which has been a couple of weeks. Before all these dumbasses are taking credit for it. So, yeah, again, WTR brings it out first. Don't stick your dick in it. So there you go, everybody. That's Quick Hits right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, next week we're going to be on a little bit later. And the reason for that is because Night of Champions is taking place next Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern. We'll be on right after the pay-per-view to break it down and talk about what exactly happened during the show. So make sure you tune in for that one. Everybody, we got a couple of shows joining the network and quite potentially a couple of more. You've heard us talk about Johnny Cashmere a couple of times. He will be debuting right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network on, Rock, correct me if I'm wrong on this date, the 21st of September, if I remember correctly. That will be right before OWW Radio takes to the air. So 2 hours before OWW Radio, which is 9 o'clock Eastern. 7 o'clock Eastern, you'll be able to catch John Cashmere's debut. We've also got a guy who's worked in radio as a disc jockey in the southern part of the United States. Going to do a couple of spins and do a top 20 country countdown on either Friday nights or Saturday nights right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And he's a pretty big name in the internet wrestling webcasts. You know who it is. I'm not gonna drop the name just yet, but stay tuned for that. He's going to be debuting next weekend, so you'll probably be interested with that. If you like country music, then you're definitely going to want to check out his show on WTR. And we're looking like it's going to be Saturday, so that works. And then
a little bit of information. I might actually have a new show coming up somewhat soon. As I mentioned before, just had a job interview. If I end up getting the job, it's going to change the way I've got to do things. But some of you might remember last night on CB Radio, me popping up a little link to an image I made called Bashing the Books, a little comic-related podcast that I am looking into producing and getting ready for people at a future date and time to be announced.
So there you go. We got a bunch of stuff coming up right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And
new website to check. Yes, Bug.
We have an episode, Tim. You and I have
an episode.
You and I have an episode of the History of that we're doing.
Yes, we are going to be taking a look at the history of metal.
Of heavy metal. Slayer and Ooh. Testament.
Yes! Yeah, we're going to be playing a lot of heavy metal radio music. And, well, actually, no, it's not going to be radio music because most of the stuff we'll be playing hasn't seen the light of radio day airplay in a lot of places. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be quite the shock as to the impact of heavy metal on our society. You want to tune in for that. Stay tuned and pay attention for more news on that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, Rock's going to spend some music throughout the week. Probably tomorrow night, aren't you, Rock?
We'll see.
Maybe.
Maybe.
And then, of course, I'll do my DJ thing, too. Probably Friday night. Don't forget, OWW Radio is Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern with your host, Alan Wojcik. Wednesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, week at OTO, Top Live. And, of course, Thursday nights is reserved for the Sinful Queen of the WTR. We're talking to Cindy Sin, bringing Anything Goes back Friday. Running the ropes might do a show, you never know. And then, of course, Saturday, midnight-ish, CB Radio. Next Sunday night, we'll take a look at what happened at Night of Champions right here on Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night, on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, have yourselves a great week. We'll see you again.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.